Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 33, Give Me More Than Shelter.
And welcome back to Color Country Politics. I'm Jenny Hendricks.
I'm Jesse Harris.
And we are so thrilled to have some first-time guests on today. I'm really excited. We've got Canyon Creek Services with us today. We've got Rhianne Ryan-Schuschel.
Yes.
I love your name. I really do.
That's what most people do. So, you know.
Rhianne is the Development Director at Canyon Creek, and we have Roxy Burkhart with us. And Roxy is the Awareness and Prevention Director at Canyon Creek Services. So thank you so much for coming in. We are thrilled.
Thank you for
that you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So let's just start out kind of, if you could tell us what it is that you do, who do you serve, you know, what kinds of programs and things do you have? Let's sort of get an introduction to the community out there and tell us who you used to be too.
Okay. Okay. I'll take that one.
Yep, you got it.
So Canyon Creek Services, we were formerly known as Canyon Creek Women's Crisis Center. We've been in Cedar for about 25 years.
Wow.
We serve Iron, Beaver, and Garfield County, which a lot of people don't know.
Right.
Everything that we do is free and confidential. So that's really important to remember. We were known as the domestic violence shelter in town, which is super important and super relevant. It's a needed service that we offer, but we offer a lot of other services. We have a 24-hour hotline that is staffed by our trained victim advocates 24 hours a day, all year long.
What is that number?
So that number is 435-233-5732.
Okay.
You can call or text that number and be connected with a victim advocate.
So you can text it too?
You can text
That's
it.
That's cool.
Which is really important because sometimes it's not feasible to get on the phone. It's not safe to get on the phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in today's day and age, it's easier to send a text for some people.
That's great. Okay.
But we have a wide range of services. We respond to the hospital. We go to court. We provide assistance in filling out restraining orders, and they're actually called protective orders, but most people know them as restraining orders, so I always like to use that term, but they're called protective orders. Stopping injections.
I think that's a big thing because, you know, someone who has been victimized, someone who's been involved in some kind of domestic violence situation, going to court is huge, and it's scary, and the paperwork is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got people that can kind of take someone from, you know, kind of through that whole process and walk them through.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Our advocates know how to fill out the documentation, and then they can go to court and be a support system while you're there, because, I mean, there's nothing more intimidating, scary, anxiety-inducing than going to court and standing next to that person that's been doing these things to you. And asking for that order of protection. So our advocates are that support system to those survivors.
I can only imagine that that is huge, to have someone in your corner when you're facing a person that's been sort of perpetrating this violence.
And it's great because they can, like, help walk the victims through the process and just, like, reassure them, like, yes, this is kind of normal, and kind of help them know what to expect throughout the process, because sometimes it's not always what people expect.
Sure.
Yeah. Or they have no idea. And that's scary.
Exactly. Yeah. That's great.
We also, just some more of our services, we offer different types of support groups for survivors. We also have educational programming. Everything's free and confidential. So it's just a wide range of services that we offer.
That's great. Yeah. So, but you also have a shelter too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So all of these things, you know, walking through the court processes and protective orders, hospital visits, which I can only imagine if you're visiting someone in the hospital that's been abused, it's
not an easy thing.
Yeah.
Our advocates are rock stars. I mean, because they go and they're that support system, but, you know, it does have an impact on them as well.
Sure.
And so it's a big deal to have somebody who is knowledgeable and can go through that.
Has sort of experienced it before and knows what the system is.
Yeah, they're there to make sure that the survivor in that instance doesn't have to worry about, like, oh, do I have to talk to this person? Do I have to worry about reporting here? Do I have to do this? That's our advocate's role, is to be like, you don't have to worry about this right now. You don't have to worry about that. I will handle this for you. Who can I call? What can I get you?
Wow.
And navigate that system because you've just been through this horrific trauma.
Sure.
So let me help you navigate this impossible system.
This bureaucracy,
yeah.
You know, sort of system. And the system, even though it is designed to help people, it's still a sort of a system that if you're not familiar with it, I'm sure it can
yeah.
be very overwhelming when you're
well,
in that situation.
And when you're in that mindset, it's going to be hard to be able to think clearly. You're in that fight or flight
mm-hmm.
mode. It's, you know, maybe if you're not, you could process things rationally.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are, even a simple thing, you would freeze.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely important to bring up that fight, flight, or freeze.
Yeah.
A lot of times victims that experience these types of violence fall into that freeze category.
Wow.
So
yeah.
It's just our advocates are there to support a person, whatever that looks like for them.
That's
they're
amazing.
Trained with and they're trauma informed.
Okay.
They understand how trauma affects the brain, how it affects their responses and their ability to make decisions or reactions, whatever. Like, and that's a big help.
Yeah.
You know, to be the advocate for the survivor. In that,
yeah, that's
so.
Incredible. And this was sort of new to me in the last several months is I did not know that Canyon Creek offered all of these services. So in addition to all of these services, you do also have a shelter. So tell us about that. Who do you shelter?
So we shelter anybody. We don't discriminate based off of gender, age, sexual preference, orientation. I'm like, what's the word I'm looking for? Yes. So, even if we can't necessarily house them in our shelter, we safety plan with them. We will find a safe place for them to go. And we use funds like for emergency services. So even if they're not like, if we get a male who has been
mm-hmm.
Assaulted and needs a safe place to
mm-hmm.
go, we will make arrangements and we will find a place for him to stay temporarily and then work with other providers
mm-hmm.
to find more permanent solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing is we work with everybody in our services to find more permanent solutions. We have a housing department who, like, they work with all of the survivors that
mm-hmm.
need it to find stable housing. And we also have a financial empowerment course that we work with the survivors to learn how to use finances and navigate the financial part, because
yeah.
a lot of them have been financially abused.
You had brought up a statistic earlier
yeah.
that so many of the people who are involved in these domestic violence situations, there's also a financial component.
Yeah,
99%
of people that are in domestic violence situations, relationships, have experienced financial abuse.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, that's just a staggering number.
Yeah, that is incredible. And you think about it, what better way to be able to control somebody
mm-hmm.
than to control the finances. So okay. I'm sure that goes hand in hand almost all the time.
Yeah. I mean, everything in our world costs money, right?
Sure.
It's definitely a way of controlling a person.
Yeah.
So.
That's amazing. So that's good. The financial literacy classes
mm-hmm.
along with all of that stuff. One thing that I wanted to bring up too is I've seen in the last few months different, and I don't know if it's a seminar or a class or you know what it is, but it has to do with bringing men into the conversation. And I have just been so impressed with sort of expanding that dialogue and talking to good men about how do we expand this conversation and bring in good men who maybe want to help but aren't quite sure how to get involved,
mm-hmm.
what to say, what to do. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we started an initiative at Canyon Creek called Canyon Creek's Work for Men. We recognize that it is hard for men to get not only involved in the work that we're doing at Canyon Creek, just based on the dynamic of the work that we do, but also that it's hard for men as survivors of this type of violence. Men are victims of this violence too.
Mm-hmm.
That is valid. That is real. It happens. 1 in 6 men experience sexual abuse in their lifetime. That's a staggering number. But it's hard for men to express that, to come out as a survivor. And there's so many reasons and barriers about coming forward as a survivor. And we as an agency recognize that we could be doing better to serve men, both as survivors, and we could be doing better to get men involved in the work of violence prevention.
Yeah. So I feel like so often it's a discussion that is centered around women,
mm-hmm.
by women,
mm-hmm.
for women. And I just love that that men are now able to be a part of that local conversation.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We've started these monthly meetings where anybody that identifies as male is able to come to these monthly meetings, these trainings, these events in a male-only environment and talk about those struggles of, like, why it's hard for you to talk about this type of violence, mm-hmm. why it's hard for you to talk about being a survivor, and how you as a male in this community can help stop these types of violence from happening. Because, to be honest, like, we can't do it alone. We
yeah.
as in women,
right.
We need men at the table
sure.
in order to solve this problem. Well, so that's why we started.
So welcome to the table, Jesse.
And the great thing is like, because, I mean, men have been perpetrated against,
uh-huh.
you know, 1 in 6, that's kind of a big number.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, it also takes men who maybe aren't necessarily abusers. I mean, because not all men are abusers,
no.
right?
No, mm-hmm. there's such
but
a tremendous number of very, very
good
men.
Yeah.
Who maybe don't, just haven't had experience in what a domestic violence situation looks like or sounds like. And when they see it, how do you react? How do you get involved? Do you get involved?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so having those conversations, I think, is really helpful for
yeah.
our local community
yeah.
to understand, you know, what is appropriate? How do you jump in and not escalate the situation
right.
and kind of help diffuse it?
Because it's different for a man to stand up and say,
mm-hmm.
hey, that's not okay,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a woman to stand up and say, hey, that's not okay,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's just a total different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so that has to be addressed, and men have to feel like they have the ability to do that,
yeah.
the language and the knowledge to know what the best way to do that is.
Yeah.
And
no.
you also want to break that abuse cycle, because
exactly.
there's so many times where the abused becomes an abuser,
mm-hmm.
and with 1 in 6 men being sexually abused at some point, that means that a large portion of them are probably going to turn around and do the same
yeah.
thing.
It's yeah. very true.
I yes and no. I'll definitely push back on that dynamic. That is a big myth, because if that were true, then everybody would be abusing everybody and everybody would be assaulting everybody. That's a huge myth that's out there. I mean, that is in some cases, but most abusers, the only reason that they're perpetrating violence against another person is because they want to gain power and control.
Mm.
So I'll just push back on that a little bit.
Okay,
hey,
is good.
But I mean, but that's the type of conversation that, like, we're having in these meetings is breaking those myths and those barriers that are out there. It's
and what is the root cause?
What is the root
yeah.
cause?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's conversations like that are happening. Well, he was abused as a child, and that's the reason he's abusing now. Well, guess what? That's not an excuse. That's not correct,
yeah.
and that's excusing behavior.
Sure.
So let's shift that. Let's talk
right.
about that. So.
I mean, for one person, that might be the cause, but I mean, Ted Bundy,
yeah.
who's a serial killer,
yeah.
he had a perfect childhood. It's not like he
yeah.
was abused, or you know what
so,
I mean? Mm-hmm. He had a great childhood. So that's kind of an example of somebody who wasn't abused,
yeah.
but
yeah.
turned out to be really creepy.
Really awful.
But I mean, there's cases, you know, like it may be a cause for someone, but that's not
but
a place.
Like,
yeah.
So while we're talking about statistics, talk to us about some of the statistics that you had shared with me earlier that are local. And then also I wanted to get into just a little bit of, you know, sort of the fundraising portion of what you do and why you need local funds. And so sort of take us through some of that.
Okay. Well, so in Utah, the stats for women, 1 in 3 women will be, have intimate partner abuse or, right?
1 in 3 women will experience some form of domestic violence in their lifetime.
In their lifetime.
And nationally, the number is about 1 in 4 and 1 in 5. So Utah's at a higher rate
wow.
than most of the nation.
Wow.
So. Which we need to get better at. So
yeah.
that's why Roxy's job is so important on the awareness and prevention side. And the work for men is so important, because people need to know what domestic violence is, what it entails. You know, people don't realize, like, financial abuse
mm-hmm.
is domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
until emotional, all that stuff. So Roxy does a great job in that. But in order to provide these services, we don't charge the survivors
mm-hmm.
at all. But there is a huge need,
mm-hmm.
especially here in Utah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we do get state and federal funding, but that funding requires a match, meaning we have to match a certain percentage of that funding with community support, and which is great. We need that match because that helps us stay afloat, because all of the state and federal funding is reimbursement based, meaning we have to expend the money first and then apply for reimbursement, which can kill cash flow if you don't have community support. So community support is essential to what we do. And because we have an increase in need, we've seen an increase in need. Roxy's doing fantastic at her job, which means more people are aware of the services we provide, and we have more to serve. And we also serve one of the largest geographical areas in the state.
Right, yeah, you're covering a lot of counties.
Yeah.
You're covering a lot of land area there.
And so it's important that we get community support. And, you know, Cedar City has been great. The city has provided us with financial support each year, but, like, we serve more than just Cedar City.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we need donors to provide dollars. I mean, and in-kind services are super important, like services for internet or phone and stuff. We get some of that donated, which is fantastic and super helpful and goes towards the match. But I don't think people realize, like, yes, in-kind donations are fantastic and they are very much needed, but cash is king. Cash is king, and that keeps us afloat, and that keeps us going while we wait for reimbursements, because it's a huge bureaucratic
process. So if someone donates $500, how is that $500 used? What is that spent on?
So I'll just jump in really quick right here. What's so important about, like, somebody donating just general cash to us is not restrictive. All the funding that we have is so restrictive. What we can actually pay for is, it's just, it's insane. Like, it has to be so specific. So when we get a donation of just cash, we can literally pay for anything with that cash, whether it be
cleaning supplies,
or we have to get somebody to another state. We have somebody that's relocating. We need to fill their gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
We can fill their gas tank.
Yeah.
And give them food and snacks for their kid on a car ride two, three states away.
Yeah.
The unrestricted funds of donations is
important.
Seriously life-saving to
how much does it cost to house a mom and two kids?
So it's $62 a night per person in our shelter.
Okay.
So for a family of three, that's what, $186?
Yeah.
Huh?
$186.
Mm-hmm.
So it's $186 just to house three. We have a 28-bed shelter, and we are basically at capacity
all the time.
And when we're not, it's usually because we're cleaning the room and setting it up for a night to have somebody else come in, because we do have people who are waiting. And we always do a lap assessment to see who has the highest need or a lethality. It's a lethality assessment
protocol.
Yeah. So we go through that. But we're always at capacity.
Yeah.
And so it's $62 a night to house one person per night. And that includes, like, the cost of utilities, the cost of the security, the cost of staff, you know, that's just in general. And then advocacy work is $55 an hour.
Okay.
So that basically pays for the supplies for the advocacy, for the advocate to be able to, you know, link to resources, all that sort of stuff. $55 an hour. And it varies on what a survivor
what
needs.
Do, yeah.
Some survivors need lots of advocacy over a certain amount of time. Some just need, you know, a few hours here and there.
So if you guys get a call from the hospital and say, we've got a domestic violence situation, can you guys please send someone out? The clock starts, it gets $55 an hour for as long as that advocate needs to stay with that victim.
Yeah.
An average that we've figured out is it costs us about $165 per hospital visit.
Okay.
To do that, you know, but of course there's been some where they've been there for 6 hours.
Yeah. I've personally, when I was a victim advocate on call, I literally checked into the hospital one night at 10 p.m. and I didn't come back until about 11 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah,
so
wow.
It just depends.
Yeah.
So
Well, when we're talking about the costs that you have and, you know, and the need for resources that you have, let's talk about October.
Yeah.
Because October is awesome.
Yes.
So, okay. So what is happening in October?
So October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and it's just a month where we push hard. We promote the fact that we need to raise awareness to this issue.
It does happen in this community.
It does happen in this community. It does happen in this state. And it's a real and valid issue. In the state of Utah, on average, in the state of Utah, every year about 80 children witness the attempted murder or the murder of their mother.
Wow.
That's
so
incredible.
It's a valid.
That's just,
yeah.
I mean, how do you even wrap your brain around that?
Right?
Wow.
So it's a serious issue. So the Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we have a big push for events and fundraising, and just we have lots of events going on.
Yeah. So talk about those events. What's happening in October?
The first one is Dine Out for Shelter,
okay,
which is going to be on October 9th. And so this is a great event because it supports the awareness of domestic violence in Canyon Creek and how we support our community. But it also supports our local restaurants,
mm-hmm,
and the local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an opportunity for anybody and everybody in the community to support Canyon Creek and their community,
mm-hmm,
businesses. I love it because it's such an inclusive event.
Yeah.
And all you have to do, honestly, is go to one of our participating restaurants,
yeah,
go eat. And if you want to drop in a few dollars in the donation box, that helps too. And it's like, it's amazing. It's one of our largest fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
It brings in the majority, like basically a third of our funds that are needed for,
wow,
for match.
Okay. So
it's
let's
your Black Friday.
It is kind of our Black Friday. So that's why we need lots of people to participate.
Okay. Yeah. So let's kind of dive into that. Put that on your calendar. It's October 9th. It's coming up in just a couple of weeks.
All day.
It's date night.
It's date night all day long. So, okay, so talk to us about how that works and kind of what restaurants are participating and how do people get involved?
So we have Central Pizza Pizza Cart and Charlie's Barbecue,
mm-hmm,
who are donating 50% of their proceeds for that day. So if you're going to go out, we encourage you to go to these restaurants. We have a few new ones like Alfredo A's.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On the north side of town, we got, uh-huh, some north side of town
good
participants. $5 Pizza, Pastry Pub, Centro, Perks, Dairy Queen,
Pork Bellies.
There's more.
Teriyaki Grill,
Brick House, Depot Grill. So we got quite a few participating. We're actually going to be putting up posters today.
Oh, awesome!
So you'll see them around town, and then throughout the month, these restaurants are also going to keep a donation box up.
Oh, that's great.
For the whole month. So you can donate all month long.
And I do want to give kind of a shout out to Charlie's and the Pizza Cart.
Yeah.
They are tier one donators.
Yes.
They're donating 50% of their revenue, not their profits.
Right.
50% of their revenue that is coming in is being donated to Canyon Creek. And then I think it was Centro, Pastry Pub, Pork Bellies, help me out. Who are the two?
So we have, yeah, so Centro, Pork Bellies, Pastry Pub, Dairy Queen, Perks, Brick House, Depot Grill, like so many, Alfredo A's.
There's some amazing,
Teriyaki
amazing
Grill.
Businesses.
They're all doing 25%.
And so that's 25%, not of their profit, 25% of their
revenue. Yep.
That is such an amazing commitment from these businesses. And then I think there's scattered kind of all throughout,
uh-huh,
the community are different locations that have little donation boxes.
Right. So we have like Pallet Bakery, Park Place, Great Harvest, Hermes, Brad's Food Hut, they're all going to have a donation box out the whole month of October.
That is so great. So you can go to these restaurants,
mm-hmm,
and any meal that you buy there, a portion of that is going to be donated back. And then there's also going to be volunteers that will, you know, kind of explain what Canyon Creek does. They'll be happy to take additional donations.
Yeah.
Envelopes. And I think we can take credit cards.
Yes.
This year.
So on our donation forms, you'll be able to put your credit card information and we shred it. After, you know,
after we go to Mesquite, I'm just
kidding. You know, well, yeah. So, I mean, but if you don't have cash or a check, you are able to put your credit card information down with the amount and we'll process it and you'll get a receipt and everything, and then we will shred that information so it's confidential. But it's just, if you can donate any way, we would appreciate it.
Yeah, obviously the need is so great. So October 9th, that's date night for everybody in town.
Take your office out for, you know, a morale booster.
That's right.
You know,
I love
do
it.
Girls night out, bros night out, whatever you want to do, go do it at one of the restaurants.
I love it.
That are participating.
Okay, what else is happening in October? There's some campus activities.
Yes.
Right?
So we are doing a candlelight vigil and an intimate partner violence discussion panel. Both events are going to be on campus. We're partnering with SUU and Title IX.
Mm-hmm.
The candlelight vigil is going to be an amazing event. Like I just mentioned, that pretty staggering statistic about 80 Utah children witnessing that murder or murder of their mother. There's a lot of fatalities every year in the state of Utah due to domestic violence, and nationally. So every year, Canyon Creek hosts a candlelight vigil to pay respects to the lives lost.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a big event. We have some speakers lined up, a really beautiful program lined up. So please join us on campus in the Starlight Room, in the Student Center on the 29th of October at 6 o'clock. It is a beautiful event, and it's one you don't want to miss.
It's pretty impactful.
It is.
I mean, and with the statistics they are in Utah, chances are you know somebody or you personally have been involved in, it's just, that's what the statistics are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, even if they're not being honored that night, because come and honor somebody who's been through
that.
Yeah, this is a way to honor that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then on the Tuesday, the 24th, sorry, it's a Thursday, the 24th, at 5:30 on campus, we're having an intimate partner violence discussion panel. Intimate partner violence is just another name for domestic violence. It's a little bit more inclusive for everybody. We're having a discussion panel where we're bringing together experts in the field. We're going to have law enforcement there, therapists, student bodies. We're gonna have a panel discussion. We're going to open questions to the community. We did this in the spring, and it was really interesting and powerful to see the questions that the community had.
Yeah.
Really educational. So join us for that event on the 24th.
I think that's great, because you get a law enforcement perspective,
mm-hmm.
you get a therapist perspective,
mm-hmm.
you get, you know, people who are sort of in that world and talking about it, and how does it kind of all come together?
Mm-hmm.
How do you kind of close that circle? So that's interesting.
Yeah, and we're all doing the same work, right?
Uh-huh.
And we all have the same goal,
mm-hmm.
preventing violence. So
yeah.
it's a good community building atmosphere. So join us on the 24th and the 29th and the 9th.
And the 9th.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
A lot going on. So
yeah,
just
that's great.
Go to our website too, canyoncreekservices.org. You'll find all this information
yep.
for all these events.
Excellent.
On our webpage.
So.
Okay. That's great. So canyoncreekservices.org. And give us your hotline number again.
435-233-5732.
Okay.
If someone wants to volunteer their time, I'm assuming there's a lot of opportunities for that too.
Yes.
Also on our website, you're going to go up and hit volunteer. There's an application button that you can hit. That's going to put you in direct connection with our volunteer director, Linda. And once you hit that application, she'll get in contact with you directly.
She's great.
And we need volunteers
for Dine
Out.
Yeah.
So.
It's our most volunteer intensive, event that we do. We have about 80 volunteer opportunities.
Well, like 2 dozen restaurants participating. That's
yeah.
not too shocking.
Yeah. So, I mean,
so come and join us
yeah.
if you'd like to. It's a really, really fun event.
Yeah.
All right. Well, did we miss anything? Anything else you want to get out there to the community?
Thank you for having us
yeah,
and
yeah,
just allowing us the opportunity to get this information
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it. All right. This has been Color Country Politics. And we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.